You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We've called this program for 18 plus years, Raising the Standard. So we hope you get something out of this that would raise the standard in your life. And we're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart. We have, it'll be 23 years in January, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. What an incredible name, Pastor Donna.
Right? Amen.
Right out of Revelation 19:10. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the entire program today. And we bless you, you hear us. And we want to learn and understand some things maybe that we don't fully understand. And so I was kind of led this week talking about this and reading some things. I think we're going to look today with you on the radio a little bit about this battle between Ishmael and Isaac that's been going on since Genesis chapter 16. And we can see what's going on in the world right now with the stuff in France and all. And we just want to kind of analyze it with you if we can possibly to think about the spiritual aspect of all this. And it is a spiritual battle. A lot of people don't even understand that or believe it, but that's what it is. And so it's more than a physical battle that's going on. There's something behind all of it, and we know it's the enemy's working overtime to steal, kill, and destroy. But we're going to stand in the truth, and the more we can find out about this and understand it, well, then we'll know how to pray and lift people up. And we pray that God's going to intervene somehow with a lot of this. And as we do, we just trust Him. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, as we mention every week. If you can't and you're out and you have to get out of your car and go somewhere, we do offer CDs and tapes, and all we ask for is a love offering, and you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and our mailing address is Post Office Box 413. That's in Stewart, Florida, and the zip there is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. If you'd like to get a copy of our book that we've talked about for years here, Pictures of the Messiah, you know, all based on God's appointed times, we offer that book for $25, plus maybe $3 for shipping and handling, and we'll be glad to get that out to you as well. So just make out a check to that and mail it in, and we'll be glad to get it to you. So we're ready to go here. Pastor Donna's got a couple announcements she'd probably like to talk about. I know she is. And we'll just turn that over to her for a couple minutes here, and then we'll go from there. All right, Pastor Donna?
Amen. Well, we're recovering
from our Bible marathon.
From the 15th annual Bible reading marathon. And it was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time. Peace. There was a peace of God was there, and we read the entire Bible. And I thank you all, whoever prayed for us, and some of you even came up and traveled up to Stewart, or up or down, whichever way you were from, to come and join us and be at the 15th Annual Bible Reading Marathon. We had lots and lots of readers, and we had beautiful weather. So we thank the Lord that we did that, those 90 hours. We did it. It took a little longer than 90 hours. In fact, this Bible Marathon, we were running really late, probably 3 to 4 hours behind time, but we had lots of readers and lots of children. You know, it just depends on the speed of people's, how fast people read. So, but it was marvelous, and we did finish up before dark, didn't
right.
we?
Well, Pastor we usually Jean. Finish about 1 o'clock, and we got done this
4:30.
Year, about 4:30. Yeah, so
but it was
that
awesome.
Bad.
No, yeah. it wasn't. It was wonderful. And we had good weather.
Yeah.
A little warm. A
couple of nights was pretty hot.
yeah. But praise the Lord. One more year, and we just pray that it will help to keep protection for our nation, because it's important.
Right.
God's
mm-hmm.
word is important. And I just want to mention that we need to continue to read his word.
That's right.
Every day. Every day we all need
heart,
to be
yes.
reading his word and meditating upon the scriptures and seeing Jesus on every page of our Bible.
That's right.
Amen. Because he's there. If we just look for him. He says, if you look, if you seek, if you knock, you know, the door will be opened. He will reveal himself on every single page. And, you know, the deep things, you have to search for the treasures.
That's right.
And we thank the
Lord
that we're here on this treasure coast. So it's not named Treasure Coast by, you know, I think we need to seek for those treasures. And those treasures in his
word. That was
God's
title too, I guess, wasn't it?
That's right. Praise yeah. God. So I do want to mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Friday night services at 7 p.m. We have Shabbat. We come together to meet with the Lord and have communion and seek his presence. And then today, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will have another video with Jonathan Kahn.
Mm-hmm.
And really awesome videos.
It's called The Mysteries of the Yoma, Y-O-M-A. It's got all revolving around the Day of Atonement, which is the date on the calendar that's assigned to the nation of Israel.
That's right. Praise God. And then after that, we will have our meal, and we will close out with our close the Shabbat with our Shabbat prayers and pray. And then tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, we come together at 10 a.m. to worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
And we give our phone number. Yeah, and I feel like I'm still recovering. You know?
you got to get your mind back in gear a little bit. I know.
But we just thank the Lord for his strength, for strengthening us.
Amen.
And the phone number here, if you'd like to know more information about Spirit of Prophecy Ministries or the radio broadcast, or this is a radio broadcast, is on the internet. So if you catch part of it, if you happen to be driving down the highway and you're catching a little bit of it and you'd like to hear more, you can go to WCNO mm-hmm. radio, that's on the internet, and you can go to Saturday and you can look on their program scheduling, and you can see at 12 o'clock noon on Saturday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to some of the other messages we brought forth in the past. Amen. Or listen to this one again. So praise the Lord. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
I might mention too, Pastor Donna, a lot of people are interested in the Jewish things today. And we know the appointed times are important. But I might just encourage all of you who are listening, if you're interested, very few Christian churches would be doing the Torah portions every week on a Friday night on the Shabbat.
Right.
So we're going to invite you to come on a Friday night. Pastor Don is going through a lot of this. And
you are, and the other people in the sure. congregation are too, because we're all studying it together.
That's right.
So when you study the same thing, you get the mind of Christ, and you actually get more, I believe, illumination or opening, revelation, you might say, to the deeper things of God, because he says those deeper things are there. It's, you know, a lot of times people just read over and surface. But God wants us to dig in.
That's right.
And see, and so when we have several people doing the same thing, like the Jewish people are reading the same Torah portions.
That's right.
Every
week.
I'd like to offer the people, if they would like to have a copy of the Torah portions, we'd be glad to send them to you. I have a copy for the whole year,
mm-hmm.
and it's on one sheet, and you would be a blessing, because, you know, if we all get on the same page, we're going to get revelation. And actually, this is exactly what the Jewish people are reading. So it even will help us to be a greater witness to somebody, to a Jewish person,
sure.
the Lord might put across your path, you
Amen.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
So you give us a call. We'd be glad to send you that or our calendar as well, because we need to know about these things. And also, Pastor Jean, I want to mention that the next thing we'll be talking about will be Hanukkah.
It's coming up.
And Hanukkah is very important.
Very prophetic
it's
pattern,
very
boy.
Very prophetic.
For what's going to happen
it's
in the last days.
It's a lot more important than people realize, the prophetic things that have to do with Hanukkah. And so then we'll be talking about, you know, when was Jesus conceived? what was Hanukkah all about? You know, why did they do some of the same things that they did during the Feast of Tabernacles? But anyways, we'll get to that in the next couple of weeks, most likely, because it's in December. Hanukkah comes in December, and that would be the Hebrew month of Kislev.
Kislev, right?
Mm-hmm. Kislev 25 is the beginning of Hanukkah. Interesting. So
that's right.
In December, it is Kislev 25, not December 25th, but Kislev 25. Right. So that's really, it's important, those Torah portions, because we talk about them on Friday, and of course you can't talk about the whole thing, but you know, actually, if you read the Torah portions, it's only like 15 minutes a day. You could read each one, you could read it for the whole week.
That's right, and read it over and over.
Over and over, and then of course you do your other study as well. But it is, and of course, what is the Torah? The Torah is the first five books of the Bible.
That's right.
So the Torah is just those first five books.
And it's a teaching and instruction from God to us how to walk a holy life. Mm-hmm. That's what's important about it.
That's right.
And we challenge people that read it. You know, we Don opens up and asks people if they see anything special with themselves during the week while they looked at this. But you know, when you do find a nugget, you got to remember this.
There's nuggets.
The nugget's for a reason. The nugget is, you know, it's not only something that God's showing you as a pattern in the Word of God that we see, but it's also what is it meant for you personally? How do we apply it to our lives for something that God wants to change in us or show us something new, okay?
That's right.
And that's the beauty of it. Every time you're, like last week we were talking about when Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah and was going to sacrifice him. And I never saw that. I've read that probably hundreds of times over there in Genesis chapter 22. And the key thing was that, remember, the Lord held back the hand of the angel when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. He looked up and it says there was not a lamb, but a ram, a full-grown lamb, and it caught in a thicket. But the interesting thing
was...
By its horns. And the interesting thing is it says it was behind. He looked and it was behind Abraham. I'm trying to ask the Lord, there's something significant about that. I've never seen that before, that he looked and it was behind him. So maybe it's showing that the things in the past, something new is going to come. And we know that Jesus spoke in John over chapter 8 that Abraham desired to see his day,
and he saw it.
He saw it, and he rejoiced, and he was glad. Amen.
And we can see this as we look at things in the New Testament, because it talks about Abraham too.
That's right.
And you know, you talk about being behind. You know, if you can see faith, you don't have faith. It's not faith.
That's right.
But faith is something you don't see.
That's
so
right.
He had to turn around. He had to see it behind him, because he was willing to be obedient.
To what
even
God
that
told
was
him.
The only son. He knew that that's. Was the seed of promise.
That's right.
And he knew that God would have to raise him up from the dead, you know, if he had to sacrifice him.
Because of the promise God made to him.
And, you know, and even the obedience of his son. Well, we can see Jesus all through that, the obedience of God's son to be able to come from behind. You know, he was in heaven.
That's right.
When he came to earth, he was still in heaven. Think about that.
Yeah.
He was still in heaven when he came to earth. But that's another thing we could talk about. But he was... He's behind. I think that has to do with our faith. He was willing to step forward and do that thing. And then God said, okay, I see. God really proves ourselves.
He sure
God
does.
Already knows what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And he knew what Abraham was going to do. But did Abraham really know? I mean, you say you're going to do something, but sometimes when it comes right down to doing it, people stop.
But he did have faith, because
when
they got to the foot of the mountain with his servants,
yes,
he says, we're going to go up and sacrifice on the mountain, and we're going to return.
And
he knew.
He had the faith. They were going to return.
That's right.
And he knew that God supplied. He knew that God was the God who supplies all things.
That's right. And Isaac was the promised son. There was no question about that.
Amen.
But the interesting thing, the Bible calls Isaac a lad. Well, a young person was considered a lad. But they estimate, the Jewish people, that Isaac was probably around 30 years old when he was taken up and was obedient to his father. Can you imagine
that? He was old enough to rebel if he wanted to.
That's right.
But that's the other side. He was obedient.
Absolutely.
He trusted his father. He knew that his dad heard from God.
From God?
And he trusted him, you know. And so he was willing to lay down his life, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ laid down his life, and God allowed his son to come. You know, that was for God. I can imagine
that's what the
God
pattern
saying,
was there, wasn't
God
it?
God saying yes, while Abraham's willing to give him his own son, his only begotten son. I will give my only begotten
that's what
son.
It was a pattern.
There was a plan. The plan was carried out. And wow, it's just, and you can see it when you go over and you read that, those faith, those chapters over there in is it Hebrews, where it talks about faith, the faith of Sarah, the faith of Abraham.
Oh, chapter,
the
yeah.
faith of, you know, these
the chapters
people
are in later parts of
that
Hebrew.
Walk by faith. Yeah. And, you know, things haven't changed. We still have to walk by faith. We can't be looking behind us. You know, we have to step out and walk by faith and be obedient to what God says. And, you know, God takes care of the rest. He's
faith
there.
Comes by hearing and hearing the word of God.
He wasn't.
What he tells us to do, we have to be obedient to that. And so that's what Abraham learned how to do as well. To
that
hear
ram
God.
Wasn't there a minute too early or a minute too late.
That's right
on time. And
that's
he
right.
was caught in the thicket with those horns. And, you know, and think about it. That ram represents a strong animal.
That's right.
God is strong. And God provided. God will take care of it.
It's incredible.
It is incredible.
Of course, we knew that the lamb that we talk about, Abraham realized that because Jesus even said that, and as I said in John 8, he realized that the Lamb of God was going to come in the future.
In the future, and he didn't come as a king. See, the Jewish people expected a king.
That's right.
He came as
a servant.
And he came, you know, as a child. You know, little babies. They're
That's
weak.
Right.
They're not.
Yeah.
He had to grow, and so he had to grow in the things in his childhood and the things that he went through. But, you know, God is so good.
But look what
but
God,
he's coming back as a
sure,
king.
That's right.
And as a Lion of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
And even as we're reading through these Torah portions, we can see Judah all through this. We got to look at it and look at the people and how it went from one person, one father to the next son, and how if you go and you follow it all through the Torah, you will come down to exactly what it says over there in Matthew. Came from the tribe of Judah. You know, Abraham, Noah had three sons, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But there was only one son of promise, not the other two, just the one. And
right.
so everything's had to come down through the right place in the seed, down to Abraham and on down to down these generations.
And so, I even think about the lineage up to Jesus. You know, Ruth was a Moabite, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
And she's in. How about Rahab, the harlot?
Rahab.
She's in the lineage down to Christ. It's amazing what God's done with it. And so
all these people by faith, right?
Right? But you look at that part in Genesis chapter 2 with Abraham at the end. It says, God told Abraham, because you obeyed what I said and walked by faith, I've imputed my righteousness unto you. Isn't it incredible? We have to do the same thing today. Our righteousness is not of ourselves. It's through Yeshua and the relationship we have with Him and our Father, Yod Heh Vav Heh. So it's an amazing thing when we think about it. So I just want to remind people, when you read the Torah and you get nuggets, sit down and say, Lord, this is something special. You showed me here about this pattern. Well, what do you have in it for my life? That's what changes us. Amen? All right.
So if you would like to have a copy of the Torah portions, the readings for each, also has readings for the New Testament and other places, but exactly what the Jewish people will be reading all year, because it takes the whole year to do it. So you have plenty of time to read other places in your Bible. It's not that it's going to take up all your time. It won't.
Yeah. Another thing I think about Abraham, you know, he was called from the Ur of the Chaldees, which was Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was the first man to be called a
Hebrew.
So God's, it's basically showing like a new birth every time we see these things in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
When it came through the Red Sea, it was supposed to be a time of new birth, because Exodus chapter 12 tells us about that, when God changed the number on the month, and when they came in out of Egypt, and we see that in Exodus chapter 12, on the civil calendar, it was really the seventh month, okay, but God changed it and made it the first month. It's just showing a new birth. It's incredible when we think about all the patterns we have. But we're going to talk about some things today about, it starts over in Genesis chapter 16, about this battle we got going on right now. We see what's going on in France and all this. There's a battle going on. It started with Ishmael and Isaac, and then it was
mm-hmm.
Jacob and Esau. It's going to continue down, and we're going to read some things in the scripture, and you can see, I believe, how this was all put in place and the promises that was given, even to Ishmael's. And he was going to have, the Bible says he's going to have 12 sons, 12 princes. Okay.
So we can find out where this all originated from.
That's right, where it originated
from. It's interesting also in around this chapter 15, I think it talks about Melchizedek.
That's right.
You know, and mm-hmm. There's a real revelation there, because that is also spoken about in the New Testament.
In the book of Hebrews especially,
Melchizedek.
Yeah. I'm thinking about this battle going on right now with France, and you know, ISIS is in America also. I pray nothing happens like happened over there, but we got to get our head out of the sand and understand what's going on. And whether people believe it or not, it's truly a spiritual battle for the soul of the French people, the soul of America, the soul of everybody. It's what it is. It's a spiritual battle, but nobody wants to call it that. It's only something in the physical or natural realm.
That's why we did the Bible marathon.
That's right. So if we look at this today, I think we'll see some things over here when we get to Galatians chapter 4 over there. About the battle between the earthly and the heavenly and all that. But let's go over to Genesis chapter 16 with us today on this teaching, and we'll show you some things here I think will be very interesting for you to know. And we know that Abraham and Abram and I and Sarah, got a, Sarai was her name at that time, got ahead of God, and they couldn't wait and have the patience and wait for God to tell them what to do. And so what happened? Sarah gave her handmaiden,
an Egyptian
Hagar, to Abram to have a child. So they were getting ahead of God. So
she thought she was barren. Yeah,
that's right.
He's old. She's
right.
Old.
That's right.
I figure
no faith.
But you know, but God had promised them. You know, He said, mm-hmm. "I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward." He said that in chapter 1 of verse 15. But, you know, they just, sometimes people just don't wait long enough. And they did have to wait quite a few years.
That's right.
There were quite a few years before the prophecy came along. But, you know, God expects us sometimes to wait. And, you know, when you get a prophecy, and we prophesy over a lot of people in our church, probably everyone that's ever come to our church has had a prophecy, or one or several.
Or several,
you know, because God, prophecy is progressive, you know. But, mm-hmm. but if you keep getting the same word, it means you're not moving on with
That's
God.
Right.
You know, you're just kind of stalemate. But when you get a prophetic word, you have to believe it, and you have to speak it, and
That's
you
right.
have to meditate upon it, you know, even write it down and declare it. The Bible
That's
is prophecy. As we read this Bible through this time, we read so much prophecy, and a lot of it's already happened, but yet there's still prophecy that's going to come forth.
That's right. Now think about the scripture in Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's where Abraham failed. He didn't wait. He didn't wait on God. But let's go over here.
He didn't see the ram.
That's right.
But the ram was there, wasn't
that's
it?
Right.
There all the time.
That's right. I was behind you. I'm chapter 16. Just for clarity, our ABCs we talk about with the King James Bible all the time, always based on context.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start in verse 4 of chapter 16 of Genesis. And it says, this is, you know, Sarah offered her handmaiden to Abram.
And Abram listened to his wife.
Right. And verse 4 says, and he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw, this is Hagar, that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. There was an enmity between them all of a sudden. You know, they couldn't get along. All right? Now, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be unto thee, I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. So there was a battle going on right from the beginning, wasn't there? Right there.
That's right. Hagar thought she was better than Sarah, and, you know, she had prideful.
Verse 6 says, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So she ran, she left. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord, I believe this might be a pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ himself here.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress
and submit
thyself under her hand. So she has to be obedient here. Now listen to this now. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Can you imagine that? And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael. Now, the name Ishmael means God hears.
God hears. God heard her.
That's right. Because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Now, here's the key thing prophetic. This is a pattern where we're at right now today in the Middle East. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And he, who's this? Ishmael and all his offspring will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren, which is talking about the Jewish people. This was the beginning of all the battles that we have with the Arabs and Islam as well. And then verse 16 says, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Now, before I go on,
he was 86 years old.
Right. So I want to bring going before we go. For I want to mention it to prove we've talked about this. I think in the past we have at our church a lot to prove that Ishmael was not the son of promise like the Muslims believe is today. Okay, when Abraham went in to Hagar, he had not been circumcised yet.
That's right.
That was a sign of the covenant, the blood that was shed at that time. But when Isaac came, the circumcision had happened, and so it proves that Isaac was the son of promise. The blood covenant was made. Now, with that understanding,
he didn't get circumcised until his father got circumcised, and he was 13 years old.
That's right.
Ishmael was 13 years old when he got circumcised.
That's right.
And his dad was like, Abram was like 99 years old.
Mm-hmm. So we see this enmity between Sarai, and Hagar, okay? And then we see there's enmity that's going to be revealed here between Ishmael and Isaac. Then we're going to have Jacob and Esau. There was enmity between them. So we got, who was Esau? He was the father of the Edomites.
Well, you know, but Abram had to be circumcised before Sarah conceived.
That's
because
right.
There was a covenant that Abram made
Absolutely.
With God, and God changed his name to Abraham.
You got it.
And so there was a covenant made.
Mm-hmm.
And so once the covenant was made, and you know, and the angels, of course, there's the angels. I love the part where the angels came and talked to Abram, and Sarah laughed in the tent, and you know, and she said, "Oh, I didn't laugh." And of course, his name was called Isaac, which
means laughter. Hallelujah.
You know, he brought laughter to her in her old age. But you know, just because they laughed doesn't mean that she didn't have faith.
Tells you in Hebrew she did have faith.
Right. So, but the key thing is he had to be circumcised before she could conceive of the promised seed. The covenant had to have been made between Abram and God, and God changed his name, and he also changed her name.
So we look at this. Ishmael, when he came, this was a fleshly thing.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they put the hay on the end of their name.
Right.
And the hay is the number 5, and it means grace.
Mm-hmm.
So they found grace in the eyes of the Lord God. They found grace, both of them, because she had to be changed before to be able to conceive.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to be changed. They both were old, you know. And so they had to be renewed in their body. And so that hay brings life, and it brings, you know, grace, and it's the number 5. It's a very important number. It's also a picture of, you know, a window. You know, God saw them, and he brought that seed in through her, and she conceived.
So I think about this. I just mentioned
Ishmael. See, there was a window of time for her to conceive.
But I'm thinking about the difference between the fleshly part, or the physical part, and the spiritual. Isaac was a spiritual child. But Ishmael was what? He was of the flesh.
That's right.
It's a picture of you and I. The old flesh has to die, and we have to look to the spiritual part of it. So we'll read this.
Because I think it was supernatural as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because like what you said, and it was also prophesied that at a set time. See, there's always a set time. And it says that. And you got to look at every, you know, when you're reading your Torah and you're looking at reading the Bible, you need to look at every word, because if that word set, a set time.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you more than what you think you're reading.
That's right.
He says a set time. This time next year, a set time. So they knew exactly when the time was going to happen.
That's right.
That he would be born.
Now I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 4 with you. I hope we get this done. I think we will. Galatians chapter 4. And we need a little ABCs here again, based on context. I want to do this.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to start in verse 16 of chapter 4 of Galatians. Paul says, "I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth." We got a lot of people saying that today, right? We tell them the truth, and they say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, you become like an enemy to them. But see, the truth is what makes men free. Jesus said that. Now, verse 17, "They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it's good to be zealous, affected always in a good thing." Not in a bad thing, right? A good thing. "And not only when I am present with you, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Boy, that's a powerful verse. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice." He was upset with them in some areas because they were getting back into legalism. "For I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, Ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law of the Torah? For it is written. See, that's an interesting verse. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. That's talking about a form of the law which turns into a form of legalism. He says, do you not hear the literal Torah of the Word of God?
Because they had been set free.
That's right. They never want to go back to this other stuff. Now, verse 22 is where's the key start. Where you want to start, basically. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. Mm-hmm. See, the Spirit gives freedom, and the bondwoman brings what? Death.
Bondage.
Bondage.
Death.
But he who was of the bondwoman was born after what?
The flesh.
But he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. Mm-hmm. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. Now, I looked up this word about an allegory. This is the definition of an allegory. It's a figure of speech in which spiritual facts are presented in physical terms. Hear that? A spiritual facts presented in what? Physical terms. So let's go on. I'll read it again. Which things are an allegory? Yes, a figurative of the facts. For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Agar. Or that's what it is in the New Testament. Her name is really Hagar with the Hebrew. For this Agar is Mount Zion.
In Arabia?
Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. In Arabia. And answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Well, why would they be in bondage with her children here in Paul's day? Because they had not accepted Jesus Christ yet. They're still in bondage, okay? But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. You know, think about it. Our salvation came from above, didn't it? Yeshua came to this earth. That's how we have our salvation. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That means the Jew or Gentile that comes to the Messiah. And he quotes out of Isaiah 54:1. For it is written, rejoice now, barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. So think about this. This is a picture of who? Of Sarai. Because she was barren. She couldn't understand this all that time. But it wasn't the right time for God to accomplish what he wanted to have done. Amen? Remember when God tells you in a prophetic word, if he says now this or now that, a now with God could be what? 10 years or longer. And so let's go on. Now verse 20.
It says, for the desolate hath many more children.
That's right.
Than she which hath a husband. That's Sarah
right.
had the husband.
Right.
Wow. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
Now verse 29 is the key one. Mm-hmm. Boy, did I read it.
But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now.
And now is today. It's going on in the Middle East today and all parts of the
right
world.
Now.
Ishmael, that group, that's how Islam came. They're persecuting what? The promised people that God brought forth through Isaac, the body of Christ. All those that come to Yeshua are part of that. Well, what are they doing? They're killing Christians. We heard...
They are having many more children because how many wives do they
take? They can have five wives.
And they might have, you know, one man may have 20, 30 children.
That's
who
right.
knows? I mean, they might have four or five wives.
Right.
And they are having all these children where now we Americans, nowadays, if there's just two children in a family, sometimes just some people just have one.
That's
very
right.
Very seldom
Hallelujah.
Do you see people have three, four, and five children. You know, like it used to be, you know.
That's right. It's incredible to think about this. So we have this battle going on. Remember, we talked about this right up front. It's a spiritual battle for the soul of France and all the other countries. It's a spiritual battle for the soul of America. And we've got to stand up and speak the truth.
And for Israel.
And for Israel, that's right. For all the nations that are not hooked up with the Islamic people and all that. And so we have to understand that. So this is a battle that's been going on way, way back from the beginning. And it's all going to end in the middle.
And so,
not the middle, at the end. Because think about it. In Revelation, it tells us that there's going to be like many, many nations going to surround Jerusalem. Right now, there's 22 Muslim nations over there. It's all around Israel. They're the only little land in the middle. And they're going to persecute them, and they are. And why do they want that land? They got all that other territory. Why
but they want to take over the world. Not
yeah.
just, they already have those 22 nations around Israel.
Sure. That's right.
But it's not just there. They're spreading out. It's
all
like
over.
A spider web. It's come
right.
to cover the world.
And all these people that are, these refugees, they call them, that are coming out of Syria, why don't they just send them to the other countries in the Middle East that are all hooked up with the Muslims? Why would they want to bring them to America and all these places? And so we can see what's happened in France already. So we got to pray, keep our eyes open, and continue to pray, because there's going to be another event that's going to happen. And so the Bible says so. So we have to stay with what the Lord's put in His Word. So I'm going to read that verse again. Verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh, who's that? Ishmael. This is a picture pattern of the Islamic people, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it was, so it is now. Well, they're persecuting the Jews right now, aren't they, in Israel? They're persecuting the same thing. Let's go on. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? This, he's going to go, Paul's taking us back to the first covenant again. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Did you hear that? So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of what? Of the free.
Because so Jesus spiritual. Has made us free.
That's right. He made us free. Amen. So let's go on to a couple more verses here in chapter 5. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. See, this whole book was written because of the Judaizers. They were trying to get people to go back under the legalistic aspects of the Torah. And he told them, he says, you've been free from that. Don't go back there. And I'll say it again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Because if we get back in that legalism, we're going to be in bondage again. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I read a book one time years ago. It was from someplace I picked up, and they were telling believers, if you come to Christ and you weren't circumcised, you need to be circumcised. That's foolishness. That's a waste of time. Amen. What did he? I'll just read it again. I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Well, all the Gentiles, they had not been circumcised. And so here the Judaizers are trying to tell them they have to do that to be in the kingdom of God. You know, it's amazing what we see in the Bible, the things that God's telling us that's not the truth, and people still want to believe the lie. Verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do what? The whole Torah law. Huh? Christ is become of no effect, listen to this now, unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. The legalism of the law is what he's telling you. You are fallen for what? From grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh how? By love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder ye that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just like he said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment because whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution, right? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Amen. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. And I want to stop here in verse 13. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Maybe I'll read verse 14 also. Mm. For all the law of the Torah is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't that incredible? Mm. So here we see this battle. And Paul alluded to this with this allegory between Hagar and Sarai. Okay? Mm. It's amazing we see this. And so there's a pattern here that God wants us to understand and know. And so we want life. You know, even Paul mentioned in one of his letters, he said, well, he says the Torah, you know, the law, the Torah can kill you. It can't, you know, if it's legalistically done. But he says what? The Spirit what? Brings life. So all the words, like we're talking about reading the Torah readings every week, every one of those, this brings life off the pages of the Bible for you and I to apply to our lives, that we can grow up and mature and walk with the Lord the right way. Not to put some legalistic thing into your life, you know. It's incredible. And so this is incredible. I'm going to read this verse again in chapter 4 of Galatians. Now let Donna speak here. I know she's got something to say. Verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh, we know that's Ishmael. That's why we have a problem in the Middle East right now. Persecuted him. Who's the him? The son of promise. And Israel's the son. They're the lineage from the son of promise, Isaac. Him that was born after the Spirit. even so it is now. It was in Paul's day, and it's going on the same way today. There's a battle in the spirit to what? To take men's souls. That's exactly, it's a spiritual battle. But you don't hear anybody talking about that on TV or anything, or in the political arena. No, but it's a spiritual battle. There's a war going on, and it's going to continue to the very end, and it's going to conclude right in the Middle East, just like it started in the beginning over there in Genesis 16, where we're at. It's going to conclude the same way in the Middle East. There's going to be a war right there. It's a shame, but that's what we have. So what else you got there, Pastor Don, you wanted to say? You're thinking. I can see the wheels turning over there.
Oh, well, you know, this is so powerful. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, good comparison, right?
That's right.
Comparing. We are the children of promise.
That's what we are.
We have a promise. We have a great promise.
In Yeshua.
God has made, and we can see how God's faithfulness is to keep his promise to the people down through the generations. And you know, if the people of the flesh would yield to the spirit, you know, God always would take them in. Because I think about even when they came out of Egypt, there were many, they weren't all Jews that came out of Egypt.
That's right.
They not, it wasn't all, well, then you would
a lot
say
of Egyptians,
Israel.
Yeah.
I've been corrected a couple times. They weren't all Israel that came out of Egypt. There were some that were, you know, that saw and they believed that God had done these miracles, and they wanted to be with the promise.
That's right.
And so they chose to go out and come and go out of Egypt. So if, you know, everyone, God gives everyone a choice.
You got it.
Now you say, somebody said, well, you
push
know,
them out,
you got, you know, God's taking care of you. He's so good to you. You've got promises. You stand up on his promises. Well, a lot of people don't stand upon God's promises, and they just really don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to have the faith to believe. But, you know, even in those days, God, even in the Old Testament, people could be brought into the congregation if they chose to follow the one true God.
That's it. That's all.
And so, and so today, even I'm thinking there's many people from different backgrounds. You know, we have Buddhists, we have Hindus, we have Muslims, they can all come into the promise if they would receive Yeshua, and then they wouldn't be bond people, bond woman. You
walk away from all that.
Walk away from that. They would be free.
Absolutely.
They would be of the promise because they believed God, and they believed that in Jesus, the only begotten, and they believed that, you know, they believed the truth. Bible says the truth will make us free. So that's why it's so important that, you know, we're a witness of Jesus Christ, because there's only one way. Jesus said he's the way,
the truth,
and the life.
And no man cometh to the Father except by him.
No man can come to God the Father except
by him.
By him. So if anyone, God is not a respecter of persons.
That's right.
Anyone.
Hallelujah.
You know, even the Jewish people, there could be pride there, and there I think there is pride there, because even they don't want to, so many of them don't want to receive Jesus as the Messiah. Well, Jesus is a Jew.
That's right.
He came from their own, you know, and so even
those. He'll be a Jew when he comes back too, won't he?
That's right. He was born a Jew. He died a Jew. He's going to come back a Jew.
Absolutely.
He's going to come back to Jerusalem, not New York City or anywhere else, but Jerusalem. And that's where he's going to put his feet in the very end time, when that battle of Armageddon happens and all that happens, and he sets up his kingdom. It's going to be, the new Jerusalem's going to be in that area, in Jerusalem.
That's where it'll be. It's going to come down from heaven. Yeah.
That's right. But see, even the Jewish people have become bond. They're not free.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't received Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are, where you were born from. You could have been born in China, Russia. I could mention, you know, all the nations you could mention. But that's why the gospel's gone out to all these places.
That's right.
Because God loves all people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way into the kingdom is to receive his son, Jesus Christ.
That's it.
So
totally.
even the Jewish people who have, he came to them first.
That's right.
But they didn't receive him.
Nope.
So they have put themselves in the same place as as what we were talking about with Hagar and her son Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the same place.
Right.
Because they haven't received Yeshua.
Sure, that's right.
But, you know, God will call anyone who receives Yeshua, we become new creatures. The Bible says, King James Bible says, we become a new creature in Christ. You know, we're not of this kingdom.
That's right.
We're of a different kingdom. It's called the kingdom of heaven.
That's
it
right.
says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. It says in Matthew chapter 6. Mm-hmm. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness.
God's righteousness, yeah.
Through his son, by believing on his son, who gave his life as a sacrifice.
That's right.
That we might be brought into this promise. We're talking about the promise. We are the children of promise because of the price that Jesus paid.
That's right.
On the cross.
Amen. And Isaac was a picture of that when his father took him up on Mount Moriah and was going to sacrifice him. So, and you remember what Isaac said, Father, where's the sacrifice? And the King James is the only one that really reveals it. He says, God will supply himself the mm-hmm. sacrifice. And mm-hmm. he certainly did. It was his son. I just thinking while you're reading, back in Genesis chapter 17, now some more things about Isaac and Ishmael. Remember Abraham was questioning about, because he loved Ishmael. There's no question about it. He loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 19 here says, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him.
Yes.
And as for Ishmael, you know, his name means God hears. Isaac means laughter. I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him. And I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes
12.
Shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant, here's the but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time in the next year. And we go down to verse 24, and it says, Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised. So he was circumcised before Isaac came.
Right.
Isn't that incredible?
It had to be circumcised. Had to cut the covenant. That
that's
was the
it.
Cutting of the covenant, the promise of God.
That's right.
And, you know, it's all a covenant has always been cut by blood.
That's right.
And Jesus did the same thing.
On the eighth day, didn't his, he?
That's right. He
when
was
born.
He was circumcised on the eighth day
mm-hmm.
during the Feast of Tabernacles, and which is called Rejoicing in the Torah. And we're reading the Torah portions.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important to read the Torah portions. And, you know, I really didn't have that understanding or awakening to that until just a year or so ago. But mm-hmm. this is our second year for our church to do this.
That's
as
right.
as a body, you know, as a body of believers. It doesn't matter if it's your home, but say you're in a home, your family, say you're reading the Torah portions. You know, your children are going to pick up something that maybe you don't pick up, and you can discuss it. And that's what we do in church. I mean, you may have a Bible study of 5 or 6 or 10 people. You may have a church of 15, 20, 30, or 100. It doesn't matter. But if you're on the same page and you're reading the same thing, you are
out of the
and
same
you're
translation.
In the same Bible.
Yeah.
You're right. It's the King James Bible. You're in the same Bible. You are going to have, your eyes are going to be opened, and you're going to see these things, and you're going to say, wow, you're going to see how God works by faith. Everything is by faith, for we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
By faith, it says over there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything,
that's
nor
right.
uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love.
That's it. It's incredible.
Amen. Faith in God.
And we talked about the battle with, you know, with Ishmael and Isaac. Now you can go down a little bit further when Jacob came with the battle with his brother Esau. Well, Esau is the father of the Edomites. So I thought about this in the book of Amos. Listen to these few verses. I'm going to start in verse 9.
Really? We got the same story going on.
That's right. It goes right on down. It's there are patterns. It just leads right through. It's like the blood, the ribbon, the red scarlet ribbon that goes all the way through the Bible. Verse 9 here of Amos 1 says, Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Tyrus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom. Now Edom, remember, came from Esau, okay? And remembered not their brotherly covenant. There was a covenant that God wanted between Esau. I don't mean Esau, I'll say it wrong. That God wanted a covenant between Isaac and Ishmael. They should be friends. And he says right here, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. They were brothers. They should have walked together, but they didn't. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Now here's the key verse, 11. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Edom, again, remember Edom came from Esau, we're talking about the Islamic people. And for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword. Well, that's key. Did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. That's where the Islamic people are today. They got wrath against the Jewish people, against the Israel. It's incredible. So what are they doing? They're killing with the sword. They're blowing up each other. Well, look at all the stuff that's going on. It's terrible. So we have this right in the Middle East. So this in the Bible is just a pattern to show us where we're at today. That's where we're at right now. It's a struggle, a spiritual battle to take the souls of human beings, to think another way. And it's incredible. You know, you think about how can they, you know, I read a periodical got here the other day. They took a 12-year-old girl, and they crucified her on some kind of a tree. Can you imagine that? A 12-year-old, they crucified her. Why? Because she'd come to Christ and she was not going to denounce her Lord. Isn't that incredible? Wow!
And what was her nationality?
That's right. Well, she was, at that time, she was Islamic.
Islamic.
That's right.
So there are a lot of Islamic Muslims that are coming to believe in Jesus Christ. And we think about it. Those are our brothers and sisters that are in these countries where they are killing Christians. Born again Christians.
That's right.
And these are born again Muslims. They're Christians, and they're killing their children.
They're no more called. They're no more Muslims, are they?
They're believers in the Lord. So they're killing them. So our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we don't look at our. We shouldn't be looking at nationality.
That's right.
We shouldn't be looking at color.
Nope.
Or race or anything. We got to look at. See, if they're in the kingdom of God, then they're our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so many of them are being murdered, killed, heads cut off.
For their faith in Christ.
Because they believe in Jesus. They're martyrs. They are the martyrs that, the Bible talks about the martyrs that are they're crying around the throne. There are many martyrs down through history from beginning. Even who was the first martyr?
That's right. Jesus Christ was the first martyr.
Well, I'm thinking, Noah, you go back further. What about Adam and Eve?
Well,
what about their son?
Yeah, Cain killed Abel over a sacrifice, no less.
And it says that his blood, that's the first blood that cried out from the ground.
You got it.
Cried out from the ground. He was a martyr. He was killed over a sacrifice.
That's it.
Because of jealousy. So you see there's hatred and you talk about brotherly love. When you have these two brothers are the first Adam and Eve, and one of them kills the other one.
That's it.
You talk about hatred building up. Hatred can build up in a family.
Think
about your own family. Are there some people in your family that you don't get along with? Maybe you don't hate them, but maybe you don't love them like you should love them. You know, we need to really check our hearts out, especially if we're a believer, because we have to love. We have to love. Jesus said that we have to love. And so we think about that. All the blood that's crying out. You know, if his blood is crying out, then all these other all the other martyrs' blood is crying out.
There's
as
a
well.
Lot of them. They're in the Book of Revelation. They're crying out in the altar.
All of those babies that have been killed, have been aborted. All those babies their blood's crying out.
That's right.
There's much blood crying out.
That's it.
Well, and God hears it. Everyone.
That's what the truth is all about. I remember years ago, we had a lady come to our church. Her name was Rachel Matar. And she was Jewish, and she was married to a man from Egypt. He was a Coptic Christian over there. And she spoke, and she had a word that night. She said, I believe with all my heart, she said, that God's going to have a move among the Islamic people
before
Jesus Christ comes back to give them an opportunity. So we got to remember, when a Muslim converts to Christ, they're not an ex-Muslim. We don't want to use that term. They're what? They belong to Christ. They're a believer in Christ Jesus.
They're a believer.
They're not a Muslim anymore. And so we got to quit thinking about it that way. They need to come. They're going to change. They got a new thought completely.
We're all new creatures.
New creatures. That's right.
We may look the same.
That's right.
But actually, even our appearance, I believe, changes. You know, the glory. We have the glory of the Lord surrounding us and in us and moves through us.
That's right.
So it's so important to realize that we're not of this kingdom.
That's right.
We may be living here on this earth, and we know that there's a lot of terror, a lot of things that are going on that are wrong, but we are not of this kingdom.
That's right. But any of the Muslims that do come to Christ, what happens? They get a contract put on their life right away. They want to kill them, okay? But, you know, the key thing is the ones that are coming, you know, they serve a God of hate and murder. It's obvious. Look what happened over in France, okay? But our God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yeshua HaMashiach.
God of love.
You're a God of love. That's how. Jesus didn't kill anybody. He loved people into the kingdom of God. And so this is what we have to remember. And so this battle, the spiritual battle, is still going on. People could just get a thought that it's a spiritual battle. The devil's wanting to just do all this and destroy the people, you know, no matter how they believe, they want to destroy them. Well, the key thing is, we have to remember it's a spiritual battle to take the souls of those individuals. And so the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But we're going to stand up to the things that are correct in the Word of God, and hopefully a lot of those Islamic people will come to know that Christ loves them so much and he wants them to come. And he's not wanting them to go out and can kill people no matter what their ethnic background is.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to close with this scripture,
go
Pastor
ahead,
Gene.
Honey.
And we'll continue this discussion next week, perhaps. But we just want to bless you, and we just want to, I'm going to give you the phone number in a minute, but I want to close with this scripture in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female.
Hallelujah.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed.
Whoosh.
And heirs according to the promise.
Promise. It came from Isaac, yes.
This was spoken back in Genesis as well.
That's right.
So, well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be on this radio broadcast.
We've still got a little bit of time.
We want to thank all of you who partook in the Bible reading marathon.
Thank you all.
Continue
yes.
to read your Bible and get hungry for the Lord. And if you'd like to have those Torah portions or a calendar from Spirit Prophecy Ministry, we'd be glad to mail it to you. Just send us an envelope or give us a phone call. And I just want to mention that we do have meetings with God here in Stuart, Florida. We're in Stuart, Florida, right, easy to find, right off of Kenner Highway in the Monterey Plaza. And we meet together on, today we'll be together at 4 o'clock this afternoon watching a wonderful video by Jonathan Kahn of End Times. It's a new one, and I think you'd be blessed by it. And then we'll close with our dinner tonight, and we'll close the Shabbat out.
It's wonderful.
We're a Christian church, full gospel Christian church. People
Hallelujah.
Say, are you Messianic? Well, we believe in all. We
believe everything
gospel.
In the Bible, yes.
Amen.
We embrace all the God's appointed times, all those things he gave to his people.
Amen. So, and then we have service tomorrow morning, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that comes out of Revelation 19:10. And I want to mention our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 275-7007.
It's wonderful. So if you get a chance one Friday night, come by.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do the Torah readings and people, the whole congregation gets involved, mm-hmm. it's wonderful to hear what they see and what they're reading. And so
thank you, Lord.
Be a part of that. So we're on this program every week. We've been on here 18 plus years to encourage you, to strengthen you, to bring you to a new place to raise the standard in the body of Christ, to know the truth. The truth will make you free. And so as we close this program, we tell you, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the spirit of prophecy.